to the Resilient Migrant Podcast, a podcast where African immigrants get to talk about their experiences as they assimilate to a different country. This is your host, Brenda Gure. Hi. Thank you so much. Hello. How are you, Dr. Joyce Kitangu?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for attending the Resilient Migrant Podcast. You're one of my initial guests, and I'm glad to have you.
Most welcome. Most welcome.
Before we go ahead, I want you to tell our guests what kind of doctor you are and where you are located.
I am a dentist by profession. I'm in general practice in a clinic that specializes with kids.
That's good.
We are based in Nairobi.
Okay, that's Kilimanjaro good.
Area. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I've been in practice in Nairobi for 6 years now, six going to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
The practice has grown. We are four doctors.
Oh, that's good.
So about four associates and two consultants.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, we just do everything that is in the scope of dental practice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, pretty much, I think that's what I do.
So do you only do solely kids or do you also do adults?
We do see both children and both adults because the market, we do have a market for both.
Okay.
So we do see both, and especially we are all general practitioners. Yeah.
I guess we want to know more about you. So I would be interested to know where you were born and where you went to school.
So I was born in Nairobi. In the late 70s.
Okay.
And I went to primary school at Hospital Hill.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And for high school, I went to Loreto Convent in Songari.
Mm-hmm.
And right after high school, I went to Alabama for university. Went to University of Alabama in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Did 4 years, biology mm-hmm. and chemistry degree.
Okay.
Graduated, worked for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started dental school at Tufts University.
One of the good schools, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And was there for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated with my mm-hmm. DMD.
Okay.
And I worked for 4 years in Boston.
Okay.
Then I decided I kind of wanted to understand more about healthcare.
Okay.
Especially I was kind of keen on going back to Kenya.
Okay.
So I did a master's in public health
policy. Okay.
At Harvard University.
Mm-hmm.
I was around 2012, graduated, went back to dentistry for a mm-hmm. year.
Okay.
And then I started my adventure back into Africa.
Wow.
Uh-huh. In 2013.
Okay. Wow. That's good. I think I want us to talk about your journey to America. So why did you decide to go outside of the country to study dentistry? And was that your initial goal to go and do dental medicine?
My initial goal was actually to go to medical school.
Okay.
So I think I'd always wanted to be a pediatrician.
Okay.
So I think those days in Kenya, going to university and graduating would take you a little longer because they used to have these riots and close universities for so long.
Okay.
And so my parents and I were worried, like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to be doing medicine for 7 years, I might just graduate when I'm 50 years old. So we were considering about going to the US.
Mm-hmm.
Then also another caveat to mm-hmm. that, because mm-hmm. I knew very early on I was going to go to the US.
Mm-hmm.
It was a best decision knowing that I was going to go to the US because I had to drop physics.
Okay.
I don't like physics.
Oh, wow.
And if I was going to do medicine in Kenya, it would have entailed me to do biology, chemistry, and physics. And I didn't like physics. So thank goodness.
Yeah.
So very, very early on, I think by the second year of high school, I knew I was going to go to the US.
Wow. Okay.
So I focused on just the biology and chemistry and requirements that are required in the US.
So you really did your research well before you left.
And we didn't have Google those days. So we didn't have like a lot of information. We didn't have mentors.
Wow.
You know, so it was kind of like literally guesswork.
Wow.
We don't have any doctors in our family. So it was literally just kind of, you know, just a motivation that I had.
Okay, wow.
I went, yeah.
Wow. I did very well. I think the one thing that I also want to congratulate you, like, you really did your homework without Google. I don't even, how did you like do that? I think that's something some of our guests would like to know, like, how did you even do that? Because when we think about being resilient, being adapt, how do you create ways for yourself? So how did you do it? Like, how did you do your research at that time? I'm curious.
Actually there wasn't much research. I just remember once talking to one of the teachers in high school, and he had mentioned that when you go to medical school, you have to have a degree first.
Okay.
And so your university experience is the one that decides really if you'll get admitted into medical school or not. So in Kenya, it was more focused on high school, how you performed in high school got you into medical school.
Okay.
So it was kind of one of those things. I just said, okay, I'm going to go figure it out from there.
Okay.
So the second year is when he told me, oh, you don't really need to do physics. Mm-hmm. I remember he was a biology teacher.
Okay.
And he told me, you don't need to do physics. And I was like, great, that's awesome. You know, but he said the most important requirements will be needed during university, not during high school. So, so there wasn't like more details to it. It was kind of like more, you don't need to do much right now until you get to university. So my goal was just to get into whatever university and get my first degree and then apply after that.
And you pursued that. And I like something you also said earlier about how you had planned everything and somehow everything worked out well. The one thing I like about, done some research on you, and you also mentioned you did a master's of public health. I think I'm curious to know why a dental doctor would do a master's in public health. Like, what's the relevance? I think some of us would like to know.
I think one of the areas in oral public health, we really don't have, a space in public health when it comes to oral health. Cause I mean, really no one is dying from tooth decay, you know, people are dying from, you know, malaria and so many other problems, you know, TB every day for dying. So I felt like there was a lot of emphasis on those type of diseases, but yet there was such a burden of dental disease, you know, in this continent. So I was just kind of curious to see how public health works, especially because I didn't understand the culture of medicine in this continent.
Okay.
So it was just more to kind of get a more critical understanding of how healthcare works beyond the US.
Oh, wow.
So even the classes, the subjects I took were more geared to this continent more than, because I remember when we were in public health, I was doing a lot. I mean, it was a time for Obama healthcare.
Okay.
And Massachusetts was one of the pilot states for the program. So there was like a lot of talk on that, but I was like just kind of more focused on seeing how healthcare can be improved in this continent and with my understanding of how, you know, my experience in the US.
Wow, you really had done your research well. And I like the fact that you had, as I said earlier, you had mapped your way and you were planning to come back to Africa and to Kenya. But before we even talk about that, I'm curious to know if you faced any challenges as an immigrant who was going to do dental medicine, and even as a Black person, were there any challenges that you faced you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like in Alabama, first of all, I mean, being a Black immigrant or just being a Black person in Alabama, it's a very, there's very high racial tension in that state. So, of course, I felt like I was kind of more being directed to do nursing. And that's because my grades weren't the greatest because I was working while I was doing my degree.
Okay.
So I was financing, so I was working a lot.
Wow.
So my grades weren't like the highest grades, you know? Mm-hmm. So I could feel like I was kind of being pushed and being told like people like me kind of succeed more in nursing or, you know, being a respiratory technician. So I kind of definitely felt like I was kind of being pushed to do something, but I think it didn't really matter because I've always been such a strong-headed person.
Okay.
So, you know, it didn't really, I just kind of took the advice because I just needed the sign off to get my degree, but still apply. Okay. It'll still be nice enough because I'll still need recommendations. Mm-hmm. But yes, there was definitely, I could feel like there was just a non-belief in me going into medical school. Like I just felt like you had to do more for you to be, you know,
to prove yourself. Wow. And you talked about some of the challenges most immigrants face, which is sometimes, like you said, working, like you're always working extra hard. You have to balance your school. You have to, if you have a family. And sometimes that is exhausting. It's mentally and physically draining.
Exactly.
And I liked the fact that you also talked about sometimes you feel the pressure to do something that you don't want. Like you said, for you, maybe you felt you need to go to nursing or something else. And that might be something that some immigrants really face. Like when you get there, you just end up changing whatever dream you had.
Right. And it's worth mentioning, I think also there were certain people that were placed by God in that part, because I remember once reading, I was studying for either it was a GRE or GMAT, and one of my friends came and was like, why are you reading this stuff? I thought you wanted to go to dental school. And I was like, you know, how am I going to finance dental school? They're so expensive. And so, so I, you know, he sat me down. He's like, okay, look here, you know, financing, I can help you figure it out. I'll help you know how to do it. You know, you focus on doing what you want to do, do your DATs, do well. And then we go from there. So I had someone also who was kind of helping me through that passage. So that is one thing that is quite important, I think, for a lot of us immigrants, is having a positive mentor. You know, and at least it helped, because I mean, it helped being in all these pre-med groups, because everybody knew, you know, you wanted to go to medical school or dental school. So we were all in this cohort trying to do the same thing. So at least it helped kind of find out like different ways we can go about getting into medical school without having to worry about how to pay for it, or, you know, if you don't have excellent grades, like, well, how can we go around the system to still get into a decent medical school? So, you know, I mean, I placed myself in situations where I could be in almost like a support group. But also, I have to admit, I was very lucky to have a mentor that just showed up at the right time. And then they just kind of steered me ahead.
I think that's a very, very important thing for most immigrants to have, because you do not understand the system, but if you get a mentor, they'll help you understand the system, what you need to do, what you don't need to do, some of the things that you need to change. So that's a very vital aspect. And I was talking to a young man this week, and he's really struggling to map out his journey. And I was able to connect him with a mentor, and he's really getting a lot of help. So that's a very vital topic that you talked about. I want us now to talk about you transitioning back to Kenya. So many immigrants always struggle with the idea of going back, especially after being educated like you. You went to very nice schools. You went to Tufts University, one of the best schools in Massachusetts. You went to Harvard. Most people, I'm sure, might have told you, how did you, you're a Harvard graduate, why go back to Kenya? But that is something that was in you. That's what I hear you say. You really had mapped out, I am going back to Kenya. So how was it for you mentally at that point where you say, okay, I'm going now? Was it an easy decision? Or
so let me just even just backtrack a little bit. I think from the moment I landed Alabama, I knew I didn't want to be in the States forever. You know, there was something about it. I knew I was coming there, I was going to study and then go back. In fact, the first few months I used to threaten my parents, I'm coming back. I'm just going to go to University of Nairobi, do medical school there. They're like, absolutely no, stay there, you know. But I knew for, you know, for a very long time that I was going to move back. I was just thinking like I just needed to do what I needed to do and go back and, you know, add more value to Kenya. But I think my return to Kenya was an ideal wish, an ambition. a project that was on my mind from the get-go
okay.
for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, while in the States. Mm-hmm. So I always knew I would be more of a value here in Kenya than in the US.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So I started preparing myself mentally mm-hmm. and even financially from okay. a very early stage. Mm-hmm. At least when I started, especially after my final degree, mm-hmm. I knew that I was kind of ready to start transitioning to Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was that a hard transitioning? Because now you've been used to a kind of lifestyle, culture. The work yeah. culture itself also, I'm assuming, was very hard. Like, how was the transition and what are some of the challenges you might have?
The transition was obviously there's a lot of fear mm-hmm. That goes into that, into that transition. And even more for me because, you know, I had a partner and we're both moving at the same time.
Yeah,
and usually the timing is usually based on one partner. And I think for him, it was already his time to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had even extra pressure to kind of expedite this move.
Okay.
Also, I was also in the process of also starting a family. So, mm-hmm. you know, so there's a lot of fear, you know, when it came to that. Although I mm-hmm. knew that I also didn't want to raise a family in the States.
Okay.
So it was even more of a motivation knowing that I was going to start a family in this part okay. of the world.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely it was very scary. But like I said, I mm-hmm. think from 2009,
mm-hmm.
I had started buying things like moving back to Kenya. And, uh-huh. you know, 2013 is when we moved. So,
okay.
you know, especially because the clinic, a dental clinic, the overhead is quite expensive. The
that must
equipment,
be.
The instruments mm-hmm. are quite expensive. So it was something that I was buying, you know. Mm-hmm. Slowly as mm-hmm. you know, as the time moved on, so that at least it's not like buying everything at the same time.
Okay.
So as far as like me starting a practice here,
mm-hmm.
I have to say I wasn't extremely scared.
And okay.
mm-hmm. the reason being was, you know, where I worked before, I had tremendous experience in starting clinics.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. I was a state general director for Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I oversaw a lot of clinics starting, training, mm-hmm. hiring, you mm-hmm. know. So I understood a lot of nuances
mm-hmm.
for a dental startup.
Okay.
And I knew like the standards of care was super high and, you know, and I understood, I had critical understanding of, you know, how to run, you know, a good practice, you know. I knew I was coming to start my own thing. I was not going to join someone or be, mm-hmm. You know, be employed.
Okay.
You know, I knew from the get-go, I knew I was, the guidelines and the policies are so different in the States and I knew I'd butt heads with people.
Okay.
So I think for that part, I was kind of not worried. Plus I'd already saved up for that and I'd already been buying things for that.
Okay.
The issue was actually people were discouraging me.
Okay.
To start a practice, you know, wow. I kind of felt like I was kind of being like, oh, you know, since you're not like so familiar with Kenya, you haven't lived, like it would be good for you to work with someone
mm-hmm.
or, you know, partner with someone. And, you know, again, this is where my assertive self came in and I'm
wow.
like, no,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I just listened. I wasn't arrogant about it, but I knew that, you know, it was something that I was capable of doing. And I had very minimal, honestly, I had fear, but it was so minimal, you know. But now I look back and I'm like, how did you do that? You know, I did not know what payee was. I didn't know
what
I Googled everything. The business environment in Kenya is not the most friendly one, you
okay.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Just even, you know, the challenge of, you know, integrating or rather reintegrating into the mm-hmm. continent as a professional returnee
yeah.
is a challenge, you know,
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
I had to get a license to practice here as a dentist.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, there goes your research skills. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. That one, you know, that when I started early, you mm-hmm. know, I kind of knew that it might be slightly challenging
mm-hmm.
from other people who have mentioned mm-hmm. in their previous journey moving mm-hmm. here as doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of knew it was going to be difficult. So I started way early, even before before I physically moved here.
Oh, okay, okay.
So almost a year before I started mm-hmm. like working on getting that license.
Okay, okay. And you have a very beautiful office, so I hope people will be able to come and see it. And
I know, yeah.
And you really have a great, great team in Nairobi.
Yes, I am very lucky. I mean, I've always been lucky to have like such a supportive team, just mm-hmm. who understand my vision and mm-hmm. who understand my goals. Mm-hmm. So we've really grown. I've had the same staff since we started. So, okay. You know, I'm very lucky and I'm very glad that, you know, that I had those people who were added into my space. There was a lot of training that had to happen because mm-hmm. Things are done very differently here.
Okay.
But then I was very open to also learning how mm-hmm. things are done here and mm-hmm. how to merge both the practice in Kenya and practice in the States.
Yes.
So it was really nice. So we have a good marriage of both, you know, standard of practices.
That's good. That's good. I think what I heard you say, especially for somebody who wants to return, because I know there's a great generation of people who've been in the US for 10, 15 years who want to come, but they're really afraid of coming back home. But what I'm mm-hmm. hearing you say is there's always going to be fear. There's always going to be a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Know yourself, prepare financially, and your experience also counts, and just know mm-hmm. what you're going for. So just be ready. It's not going yeah. it might not be a smooth path, but it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say, do not resist the call of Africa.
Okay.
And Africa offers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like Africa offers offers career or business opportunities, but the road to success will require a good understanding of the realities in the continent for better adaptation and integration.
Okay, that's good. So is there anything else you would advise somebody who would want to return back home?
I mean, of course, yeah, I just believe that there are opportunities.
Okay.
I think most people give up mm-hmm. because of plan B.
Okay.
I would have started this thing called, you know, I need a plan B, you mm-hmm. know? You know, I don't want to come there and struggle, you know. Okay. So while they're trying to find this plan B, it takes another 5 years to find this plan B.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're still finding a plan B, you mm-hmm. know. And I always feel like, you know, when you have already launched that rocket of desire to be in this country,
mm-hmm.
you need to just jump on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, the plan B will come while you're here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to execute a plan B while you're back there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you just have to save, prepare, understand how Kenya works,
mm-hmm.
See where you're going to fit in, mm-hmm. you know, do a lot of work, you know,
okay.
in terms of finding out like what opportunities are there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not an easy place for you to come in as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes even to transition from certain careers into something else in,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
in Kenya that you've not been doing while you're there.
Yeah.
So I think there's just a lot of preparation that needs to be done in terms of just mentally preparing yourself, financially preparing yourself, you know, just understanding the realities of how things work here.
Okay.
But I just believe that, you know, working on plan B sometimes can take a little long to manifest.
Okay.
And that just kind of creates a bigger, you know, a bigger lag in terms of jumping in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I always feel like mm-hmm. is, you know, there's this thing for mm-hmm. Kenyans in Kenya versus Kenyans, mm-hmm. you know, in the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
there seems to be some form of, you know, some prejudice from both sides, you
okay.
know. And I know that usually is a fear factor for mm-hmm. most people trying to return back because they always come back and feel like then they're kind of not welcomed,
mm-hmm.
you know. There's some form of weird prejudice that happens. And
mm-hmm.
I guess I think we just need to re-educate ourselves.
Okay.
To see what has gone wrong
mm-hmm.
and take serious steps to
mm-hmm.
address them so
mm-hmm.
We can be able to see the commonalities
mm-hmm.
of our interests.
Mm-hmm.
so that it can also be a smooth transition for people in the diaspora as they come here. You know, for me, one of the biggest challenges was just even integrating into the Dem fraternity, you know.
Okay.
I almost didn't feel accepted. So I do feel like, you know, it's something that we need to kind of also, even for us as diasporans, to kind of look at it critically and see how we can kind of improve that, you know, that relationship.
Oh. Wow. So there needs to be a lot of conversations between people who are back on the ground and those who are coming back home. Tension. And again, as you say, we don't know where that originated from.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, we don't. Yeah. I mean, and I think also the government should be able to tap into that diaspora population by maybe, you know, having programs that are designed for people to see a new world altogether here in Kenya. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there could be more, you know, that the government can do to kind of make us feel more inclusive when we come back.
Wow. Good idea.
Yeah. So, but I just do believe that, I mean, you know, I think there's so much that can be brought back. There's so much added value, you know, especially with a customer experience, you know, things just being in order, you know, even just right now we're going through all this climate change, you know.
Yeah.
There's so much as far as, you know, making an environmental impact in Kenya that we can add, you know, from our exposure there. So I do believe that there's a lot that can be done, you know, in Kenya, and I just believe that it's just time for just people to just wake up and heed that call to kind of come back, you know, to Kenya.
Because I feel like you said, there's a lot of gaps that can be filled by people in the diaspora, and we can have a good conversation with people on the ground to just make it happen. It's possible.
It is possible.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, Dr. Joyce, we are learning a lot about Kenya from you, and this is very vital information that people need. I hear all these people say, "I want to go back home," but again, you add 5 years, 10 years, and you're still saying you're going back home.
Yes.
Now, I want to switch to the other thing and just have some fun questions with you. So, if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would that be, baby?
Say that again. Sorry, I got distracted by this little munchkin.
That's okay. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would that be?
Sugarcane.
Oh, wow. That's good. That's great. I read somewhere that if you were not a dentist, you would have wanted to be a DJ. So my question is, what would have been your DJ stage name?
Yeah, DJ Soy Sauce.
Oh, Soy Sauce. Why Soy Sauce? That's great.
Yeah.
So my last question is, before we wrap this up, if there's another country you'd ever want to live apart from Kenya and the US, or have a chance to at least visit for a longer period of time, what would that be?
Bali.
Oh, had good things about it. Anything specific about Bali?
I think just the wellness experience over there, you know. You know, I'm an avid meditator and, you know, I became a vegan in the last, you know, few years. So it's a nice place to understand plant-based diets.
Okay.
You know, being in Kenya, it's quite challenging sometimes because everything is meat. It's a nice exploration on all the, you know, plant-based options for meals, you know. Yeah. Just kind of like the stillness and the peace that, you know, the country just offers. Yeah. So Bali would be one of them.
Oh.
But also I love Maldives. Maldives is just farming and doing nothing. I could definitely move to Maldives and live in an island isolated alone and allow my children to visit me only twice a year.
Just relaxing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Great places to go. So before we wrap up, it's good to really talk to you and understand about you, understand about Kenya, and you have a beautiful daughter over there. Anything else you would like to add?
I think, you know, I think moving to Kenya for me has been one of the best decisions I have ever made. Okay. And honestly, like when I sit down and see the life that I have built here, you know, with my family, I don't think I would even have half of that I have here in the US. And I think the quality of life here, you know, has been incredible. And just kind of the peace of just kind of being around your people and, you know, having, like, I just hear of all these things about unfortunate Black Lives Matter and, you know, just, it feels nice to be home and having to deal with that whole, like, issues and, you know, just having that comfort of, like, having to deal with those. But yeah, I think the quality of life has been so great. And I think that has been the best decision I ever made was to move back.
Oh, good. It's good to hear that. I think my last question I have two last questions. I obviously am a mental health professional and I like asking this question because I like learning from people. What are some of the ways you cope with life challenging times?
So I number one, I mean that 5 a.m. crazy club.
Oh, okay.
So I will wake up at 5, or rather around 5, and then I would work out in the morning.
Wow, great.
And then I do meditation, and then I journal.
Oh.
Right before my kids all wake up. And so by the time they've woken up, I have done a lot. I've done my whole day.
Wow.
I don't work a lot. I only work 3 days a week. And the rest of the days I'm at home just trying to catch up, you know, self-care, you know, hanging out with the kids. I do play tennis. I went back to tennis.
Wow.
So I give a lot of time to myself, you know. Because everybody's like, how do you work 3 days a week? And I'm like, if I worked more than 3 days a week, I would lose my mind. Because dentistry is not easy. And, you know, just also being, you know, just being a business owner at the same time, you just kind of have to have that life. You know, work-life balance. You have to be very intentional about that.
Great, great self-care strategies. I like the tennis. I always see tennis and I'm like, I'd like to do that. And I like the fact that every morning you get started with getting your good hormones up. So great, great self-care. So as we end, I'd like to know, where can people reach you, your website, your social media handles, so that people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, so if you want to get in touch with me, you know, our website is www.dentalsmiles.co.ke. We are on Instagram as Dental Smiles, Facebook, Dental Smiles Nairobi. We are on Google as Dental Smiles Nairobi, and Twitter, Dental Smiles with a Z.
Okay, good, great. I'll make sure when I post the podcast to put all your social media handles on your website so that people are able to get in touch with you. You're a great dentist. I like your practice. And thank you so much, Dr. Joyce, for joining
me.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
All the best and take care of yourself.
I will. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.